The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on a break!
With Ambar Garcia, Brian Broaddus, Patrick Walker, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Wednesday, April 24th, 2024, season 20, episode number 4. There's a lot of 20s and 4s in here. Welcome to The Break. We are presented by LG, and today we're getting you ready for the NFL draft. It takes place, it starts tomorrow, round 1 tomorrow, round 2 and 3 on Friday, and then the remainder of the rounds on Saturday. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage. Brian will be a part of that. Patrick will be a part of that. Amber will be a part of that. Everybody, it's all hands on deck to cover the draft. We hope you will join us for that. But today, I want to start first by talking a little bit about the press conference that happened yesterday. Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, and Mike McCarthy all took some time with the media to answer questions. And it felt a little less about draft and a little more about team building 101 and salary caps and everything else. But I want to first go around the room and just get general thoughts on what you heard from the press conference. Any particular things that stood out to you that you thought were particularly interesting? Brian, let's start with you.
Yeah. Again, this is my opinion coming from 105.3, the fan, from the outside of it. And, you know, I do the work here with you guys. But I felt like this is the first time. Stephen Jones doesn't like to talk about contracts generally. He pointed the finger yesterday at the agent community a little bit on some of these contracts. And I mean this in a way that, you know, when he was talking about, hey, these guys talk. These guys, you know, they have ideas. They know numbers and all that. Usually the Cowboys are a team like, hey, we're not going to comment about that. We're not going to comment. I sensed some frustration with Stephen Jones yesterday and the fact that he feels like that some of these agents, again, their ability to talk to each other and then maybe holding up deals. We always, I know on our end of it, give the Cowboys a lot of grief for what happens with some of these contracts. It's a two-way street. My experience of working in the National Football League is you have to have people that are willing to make deals with you if you're going to do this. But a lot of us blame the Cowboys for not doing deals. And to me, I sensed frustration from Stephen Jones, which I never had before. But I felt like he pointed the finger at the agent community a little bit yesterday and said, listen, we'll do deals. It's going to be the right number, but we'll do deals. And so, you know, I think he's right. I think the first time, and this is my opinion, that the first time they did the Dak Prescott deal, you had an agent that was switching from one agency to another. He was not going to put new money with an old agency. And I think that's why you got held up on a deal. I think agents are holding up on deals. Now, we saw a big deal today for a wide receiver, which is good. The Lions got their deal done with St. Brown. Good for them. But you have to have people that are willing to talk to you and willing to negotiate along the way. I sense frustration from Stephen Jones on that front.
Yeah, there was definitely some frustration and a little bit of defensiveness from both Stephen and Jerry as far as the team building, the questions that they were kind of volleying back and forth. And it seems like it's a situation where if you go back and you look at last summer, you look at what they were able to do with Trevon Diggs and getting that deal done early, right? That's ideally what the Cowboys and how they would like to handle their cornerstone players. But it's a two-way street, as Brian's saying. The agents, the representation for these players, they have to agree with the numbers that you're presenting. You have to agree with the numbers they're presenting. And then it's bigger than numbers. It's how's the money breaking down? What's the term, et cetera, et cetera. So clearly there is some frustration there. It seems as if there's some frustration with where they are in the cap as well. Jerry saying something like we're embracing not having cap space. Obviously, that's not going to go over well with fans because the fans are looking around the league. They're looking at teams like the Philadelphia Eagles and Howie Roseman. They're looking at what the Rams were able to do, you know, in the years preceding what ultimately turned out to be a Super Bowl.
F them picks and push the cap as far as it goes.
Right. Yeah. They want to see the Cowboys be that kind of aggressive and finesse and massage the salary cap in those capacities. But Steven said, you know, the Cowboys, they're focused on making this draft one of the best ones ever. And now you don't really have a choice. That's kind of where you are because it has to be your de facto free agency. So biggest takeaway for me is that the Cowboys are frustrated that they don't have these deals done on at least one of their cornerstone players of the big three, Micah, which is has a little bit more time, but CeeDee and Dak, you would want those done right now. But interestingly enough, when I positioned the question in front of Jerry, Steven, and Mike regarding the possibility of drafting a quarterback, if there's a premier quarterback staring you in the face at 24, you have uncertainty with Dak Prescott going forward. You have uncertainty with Trey Lance going forward. If it's staring you in the face, what do you do? And hence Jerry's reply, we want Dak Prescott, and that's that. That was one of the more definitive statements that Jerry said on yesterday.
And we'll get to that. I did have one question for you when you were talking about kind of how they've constructed the team. Mm-hmm. I kind of got the impression that what Jerry was saying was, we've spent the last 3-4 years being what they – now, we can all question whether it really is aggressive, but they think – over the last 3-4 years, they think that's been the period when they have been aggressive, and they have surrounded Dak with premier talent and had one of the best rosters in the league. And now it's time to pay that bill. Like, he kept going back to, hey, it's that credit card. Like we've been paying. Yeah, we've been paying on that credit card.
Their all-in didn't work.
Right, exactly. That's exactly how it sounded to me, was that essentially they were going these last several years. They've been pushing. And we know every year we get to the offseason, they'd be like, restructure this guy. And it's not, they were trying to hold it all together and give themselves a little more chance and keep that roster together. And now they're going to have to embrace the fact that they don't have that flexibility anymore because the rules of the NFL don't allow them to have that flexibility anymore, and they got to pay the bill. Is that how you took it?
That is how I took it, but it's two things are true. That's true. The bill will always come due. It's also true that there are levels of finesse when it comes to the salary cap that I feel like the Cowboys could slightly improve upon. We talk about teams like the Eagles, the Rams. There are teams, the New Orleans Saints in the Drew Brees era. There are teams that have shown that they're operating within the same rules, the same parameters that Jerry Jones and the Cowboys mentioned yesterday so vehemently.
But how long have they done that, though, I guess is the question. Because I the way I understand it, that day is coming for the Eagles here in the next 1-3 years.
So, again,
we'll see. And I've said this on Twitter.
I know
we will see whether it gets there.
I've been waiting now four years for that to happen.
But that's where I look at it and I'm like, if I do know what happened for the Rams, and the Rams had to reset, and we saw that happen, but they won a championship.
And did it effectively.
They did a nice reset, but they did it with the draft after they said F them picks, right? They figured out how to do it with the draft. They get a guy like Puka Nacua, and now they're back in the playoffs and ready to run, right? But I think teams do have to go through this reset. It's a matter of how effectively they go through the reset when they get to this point where the bill comes due. Because I think the bill does come due.
But it's also the timing of the reset. So if you look at it contextually for the Cowboys, look at the timing in which this reset is occurring. You are a head coach on this final year that you have not extended. A quarterback, a QB1, MVP front runner, all pro, record setter, final year of his deal, not extended. CeeDee Lamb, arguably the best wide receiver in the league. You want to get him extended. Micah Parsons, generational talent. The list goes on and on. The timing of such a reset, it's working against them, but what also makes it that much worse, and we talked about this, and we talk about it offline all the time, and this is why they've been defending this statement, and Jerry kind of trolled everyone a bit with the statement, all in. The fact that Jerry said all in at the Senior Bowl, and he did playfully troll everyone by saying that again. If he didn't attach that label to this offseason only to find out that this offseason was going to be the antithesis of that, that's what makes it that much more difficult for fans to try to compute what's the vision here. Because you're right. This is likely a soft reset. Maybe not a hard reset, but it's
They're
a
not
soft
getting
reset.
Rid of all their parts, but it is somewhat of a soft reset.
But the timing
reset,
of it is just very, very bad.
I think the thing that they won't admit it, but they're pissed off that some of these contracts didn't work out for them. I think that's the thing that's bothering them,
Steven did mention that a few times.
I think if you pulled Steven aside and you had a scotch with him, the one thing, if he said, could you do something over? He said, maybe some of these contracts, I wouldn't have gone the way I did, you know, that didn't work out. And Jerry, I think, brought it up about the money with Zeke and how it prevents you from signing Tyron Smith. You know, that maybe some of these bad contracts that they
gave. And then he said
gave.
Zach Martin's money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Zach Martin, and we're at training camp, we're all sitting there, and it's day 26 of Zach Martin holding out, you know?
Oh, watch that football.
Yeah, oh, look out. Yeah, you're about to get hit by a ball. But
we love you, butter.
But see, that's to me where I think that the fact that the bills come due, they're frustrated with the agent community, and that they're also in a situation where they made some bad deals. And I think that's the one thing that pisses them off. They've made a bunch of bad deals in their life. They're businessmen. They've also made some great ones too.
Yeah.
But I think if you pulled them aside, they would say, if we had to do something over, there's probably two or three incidents that they would look at and say, we'd be in better shape if we just had done this. Our plan was this, but it wasn't good enough.
Yep. See, for me, it's easy. And if you guys, those who have not listened to the press conference, I highly suggest it, because like you guys mentioned, it's something different, very different than what we are used to watching and hearing from those guys, Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, even Mike McCarthy. So it was
did Mike talk? I'm just
barely.
Jerry drug him in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike was like, I'm good.
Y'all handle all of this.
Mike was like, aim over there.
Yeah. Jerry made him an offensive line expert. Is what right. He did.
Yeah. what I was going to say, so to me, and I've been one of those, and I'm not a cap expert, don't care to be one. It's very, because so many different factors of it, it's so complicated. But I was one of those sitting on this show with you guys several months ago of like, okay, why they have the ability or that they can restructure X, Y, and Z, and they haven't. And it's easy to judge that way. And sure, maybe there are some contracts that is like, okay, it didn't pan out. And I highly, highly, truly believe that they missed their chance last year. That was the year where they had everything they needed to get to where they were.
And not only did they miss it, they missed it in a way that was so just
dramatic.
Demoralizing. Yeah.
Exactly. So where I'm trying to get at, once you start peeling all the layers and laying everything out, all the contracts and everything, and you start going through it and really analyzing everything, you start giving them some grace and thinking, okay, well, crap. Yeah. Like, you're really tied. You cannot do anything because it's not a 1 year, it's not this year thing. You have to look at next year, the following year. You have to look even sometimes 4 years out to where things and the money is affecting you. So even though I don't know all the disclosures and contracts and all of that, it's not as simple as, because I've been there myself getting upset and being like, why you see other teams doing this and that. But I do know this, Jerry Jones, he's a great businessman. So I know he has great people that know how to handle money and distribute and all of that. So I know there is a history there of people that are actually very, very knowledgeable on the job and how to move money around. So anyways, the point is they had their chance. Their all-in was last year, and then now they're just having to pay the receipts.
This is Jerry even said it. It's like you have your bank account, but you know you have all these bills. And now you're giving plasma so you can get $10 so you can eat dinner that night.
Yeah,
you know your bank account looks really good, and then all of a sudden you realize you've got a month's worth of bills coming up.
Yeah.
I think they're to the point now, and maybe it's going to be sacrificing the quarterback here. Maybe it is. I'm just saying. They're looking at it, I think, that we can't kick the can any further down the road. We can't. We've kicked it as far as we can. As a group, we agreed last year was their best opportunity.
Yes.
Now you have to pay the bill. We've all had a great dinner. You know, we're all liquored up and ready to go home. You know? But somebody's got to pay the bill.
Yeah.
And now they're having to pay that bill. And do they have the money? Do they have the switches? Sure, they can. I think they're to the point that they've made the decision, like, we've kicked this can as far as we can. We can't do it anymore. And so that's why I think they're in the position they're in right now.
I was going to say, here's because I like to put on different hats to look at things from different angles. So from a Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones perspective, salary cap, yes, they don't want to kick the can. They can restructure Diggs and Malik Hooker, and it can happen. But they don't want to because that bill is how they're viewing it.
The bill's too much now.
But then put on Mike McCarthy's hat.
Yeah.
Now, he will never show this visibly, and it might not even be an internal thought for him. But if I'm Mike McCarthy, and I know that I only have this final year to prove myself, what you're basically asking me to do, which is fine because I'm up to the task, but the reality is you're asking me to deliver you a Super Bowl-esque run
with a
lot of young talent that you're asking to step up, which will include a class full of rookies.
Yeah. But you know, last year, I gave you a team with all these Pro Bowlers. And so you know what? Mike McCarthy really honestly, and I'm not saying this to be mean, he doesn't have a leg to stand on right now. If you look at the way we're talking right now, if you look at last year as the all-in best chance as an organization, they didn't deliver. And he's at the top of Fair that. Enough. The general manager's at the top of the list, but then the head coach is the next. So Mike McCarthy, as he looks at this, he's now going to have to play the hand he's dealt. He had a winning hand.
That's fair.
And he had a winning hand at the table, but they drew the dealer drew a straight flush on him or something. You know, I mean, cards. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
He had the hand to win.
That's fair.
They didn't deliver.
Yeah.
And now he's got to look at this and say, I had my chance. If they move on, you know, I don't like it, but I understand.
But I think also I'm growing a little tired of the conversation that paints the picture that the Cowboys are now this team that has no talent. Like that is
they'll never be bad.
So when you
definitely not.
They'll never be bad.
When you say he's kind of dealt this hand where the team is, I look at it. I really saw this, and I it was interesting. It was on 105.3 The Fan the other morning. I heard Sean and RJ and Bobby. They were citing an article where this writer had used artificial intelligence to be able to identify the rosters and rate the rosters around the NFL. You want to know where Dallas fell in that?
It's up there.
Number seven.
Number seven.
And I'm like, okay, so yes, it's not as good a roster as last year because it lost a lot of its depth. One thing we know about this team is they tend to draft pretty well. So they'll replenish some of that.
They will never be bad for that reason,
what you're just saying. Some of that. Maybe they won't get it all back, but they'll replenish some of that. This is still a good enough roster to go where you want to go this next year. Now, who knows what it'll be beyond that? Because, again, I look at it when people start saying they have all these levers they can pull. It's like a person that's now fallen into a well. They're already in a hole, and you're throwing them a shovel instead of a rope.
Yeah.
Like, if you – yeah, they can push these levers, but pushing these levers is definitely just going to worsen the problem.
Yeah.
It's just going to put them farther down in that hole.
I agree.
It just doesn't solve the problem.
Yeah.
So it's not really a solution to say you can push these, you can pull these levers and restructure these guys and push the money down the road. You really don't have that flexibility anymore. It's best to say, let me pay my bill.
Yeah.
Let me get out of debt. Let me be fiscally responsible. And then I can restart and say, okay, now I can get aggressive again. I got my money back to where I need to have it.
Right.
Now I can get aggressive again. I think that's how you have to approach
it. I just never feel like – I feel like this team will always be in this – I don't mean this is a slam to Jason Garrett. They'll always be an 8-8 team. As long as they let these guys draft,
they will never fall below that.
They will figure this out. They will find a quarterback. They will find talent around. As long as they let them pick players, you know, give them compensatories, let them sign the undrafted free agents, maybe dabble in the free agent market a little bit if they can. They're just too good at personnel here. You know, they really are. They know they'll never be that. Now, they'll lose players, but they will find ways to replace these guys.
And let's be clear, because and I'm on record as saying this, but let's be clear for those that are listening. I believe the Cowboys have plenty of talent, right? So if you go back to the statement, it's youth. So if I'm putting on the McCarthy hat, it's not that I'm concerned about the talent. It's the youth and that lack of experience and a lot of unproven guys. Look at your running backs room, for example, before you enter this draft. It's a lot of unproven experience, and you're looking at these unproven guys and saying, you have to take us to a Super Bowl. Right, you have to help us go to a Super Bowl. Now, of course, again, as a coach, particularly a guy as competitive as Mike McCarthy, you're taking that challenge on head on. And I love what you said in that. He doesn't really have a leg to stand on.
He didn't.
And to that point, though, combining with what you said, yes, the Cowboys have a lot of talent on this roster, but they hemorrhaged talent in free agency. So if their best shot in recent memory, like you said, Umber, was this past January, and that fell short with that roster, and now to your own admission, the current roster, as we have this conversation, is less talented, still talented, but less talented than the roster that failed in January, now you can see where fans get concerned.
Yeah, but,
well,
but
that's
also
where Sam Williams and Tolbert and these guys.
And Steven point a finger Tolbert, at Sam Williams, for example.
Tolbert needs to play better because Michael Gallup's gone. You know, and all those edge rushers are now gone. Armstrong, Fowler, Sam Williams, you need to step up and play better.
100%.
You know, Junior Fajoco, they drafted you for a reason. You know, you have to figure out a way. Mozzie Smith, you got to figure this thing out. You know, and so to me, the talent we talk about, young talent, they've got talented football players.
Absolutely.
The problem is they've got to play like talented football players.
Yep. And youth ain't always a problem. Look at the Green Bay Packers. Look at the Houston Texans from last year.
Agreed.
Both rosters were just litany of young guys.
Agreed.
Who were just getting into the NFL and figuring it out and got the opportunity. So if we trust the fact that they can draft well,
yeah,
then trust these guys to get out there and play. And let's see what they can do when you give them that responsibility.
You're
to
about to see that.
You're absolutely about
to see
it.
You're about
to see that. And by the way, I want to see some guys that they mentioned, like a Sam Williams. We're going to get into some of this a little bit later. We're going to take a break, but I want to see a guy like a Sam Williams. If you give him more opportunity, what does he do with it? Because
maybe more penalties.
Maybe more penalties. We don't know.
I'm just.
But it's true. Like there's all these
be positive, Brian,
or more sacks.
Where's your hopium that you used to take?
I used to take. I take a lot.
Did you run out of it?
You use it all.
I lost it all in a press box in the Green Bay Dallas game. My hopium went right out the window.
All right, we're gonna take our first break. We're gonna come back. We're gonna dive into the actual draft a little bit more. Talk about the defensive side of the ball, some areas where we think the Cowboys may need some help, and maybe get some names of some guys that you should be aware of heading into the draft tomorrow. We'll do that when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Back to the break.
The 11th annual Reliant Home Run Derby is back at Riders Field in Frisco on May 1st at 6 p.m. Come see your favorite Dallas Cowboys players. Swing for the fences to raise money for the Salvation Army. Admission and parking are free. Visit DallasCowboys.com/ReliantHRD to learn more. See you there.
Welcome back. Second segment of the break, live from SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. We're presented by LG, and this segment is brought to you by Blockchain.com. All right, let's talk about the defensive side of the ball heading into the draft. I got a simple question for you guys. Which would you think of these three areas is the biggest area that Dallas needs to focus on in the draft this year? Defensive tackle, defensive end, or linebacker?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Jump in, Garcia. What do you think?
Defensive tackle, defensive end, or linebacker? That's a tough question because I have my doubts on defensive tackle and linebacker. Okay. Right now, I think I trust a little bit more the linebacker position than the defensive tackle. And that says a lot because you got DeMarvion Overshawn coming back from an injury, highly unknown. He's only played a few, you know, in the preseason, and that's it. Then you got, you do have the veteran that you signed, and there's some experience there.
Kendricks.
Yeah. His age, I don't know. I'm still like waiting to see, even though we've talked about him and all of that, but he has the experience with Mike Zimmer and all of that that he brings in. But going back to defensive tackle, and I get it, Mazi Smith, I trust the evaluation and the reason that he got drafted in the first round and everything. But right now, nothing that I saw last year, and that this doesn't mean that I'm giving up on him at all whatsoever. This is his second year, and I'm excited to see if he has grown there. But I just don't feel like I trust the position at the moment, especially with all the issues that you had at stopping the run. The linebacker should help at that as well. But at the moment, I have defensive tackle a little higher than linebacker.
Yeah, one of the best players in the draft is a defensive tackle, Byron Murphy from Texas. He's a three technique. The problem you're running into is you don't have a true one technique here because you're trying to figure out what you're going to do with Mazi. You've lost the depth with Hankins walking out the door and others. So you really don't have a one. This draft isn't particularly deep for one technique guys either. McKinley Jackson from Texas A&M is a guy that's a 326-pound guy. He's probably a fourth-round pick on a lot of boards. You don't have a fourth-round pick. You have a pick at 87 unless you get another pick. And you're, you know, that's, to me, that's, it would be, it's a little bit of a reach if you pick him at 87. You know, now you're trying to use valuable third-round draft capital to make up for a position that you drafted last year in the first round because you're not sure. The linebacker position goes a little bit deeper here. I think these linebackers on your board are kind of trade back guys. If, say, some of these offensive linemen are not on the board for you, or you don't like the particular tackle, or your center's not there, then maybe you can find a way to trade back. And then this is where Peyton Wilson, the linebacker from North Carolina State, comes into play. Cooper from Texas A&M comes in play. Colston, the linebacker from Michigan, comes into play here. So to me, it's the linebacker gets addressed on a trade back potentially first. The defensive tackle, unless you want to take Byron Murphy, and again, that's a three technique.
You got to jump up to get him though, right?
That's what I'm saying. There's some people that feel like that maybe that if he were to slide, if he were the one guy that all of a sudden there's such a run on offensive players that they lose track of Byron Murphy, then you know that might be the best player on your board.
Yeah,
but he plays a position that you have Oso Digizua, who I think is a good really player. Good player.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he, you know, Murphy and Osa, yeah, it'd be great to have those two rushing the passer, but we still haven't addressed the one technique. Now, does that Mazi Smith? You know, we'll see how that plays. But I only feel like that the defensive players will be there or potential for the drafting of a defensive player if it's a trade back. That's where I think that's – and I think they would probably address – the linebacker before they would address the defensive tackle would be my guess as well.
I'm obviously a build defense from the front to the back type guy. So my inclination is to say defensive tackles. But going into the draft before they make any selection, I keep defaulting to the linebackers only because there are more and bigger unknowns at linebacker. So at linebacker, as it stands, you have Damone Clark, you have Eric Kendricks, and then you have, which basically would be a red shirt, and DeMarvion Overshawn coming back from a torn ACL. So he has to get back to form health-wise.
Yeah.
And then he has to get through the rookie learning curve at one of the more cerebral positions in professional football. But when you look at the defensive tackle position, yes, we have questions on what will Mazi Smith look like in year two? What will his weight look like in year two? Is he going to be at three, held to a three at current weight? They're looking to bulk him up, but is it going to be bulky enough to put him back at one at the nose tackle? But that's not as concerning. It is concerning, but it's not as concerning as DeMarvion Overshawn and how quickly can he get to form and become, potentially a premier linebacker in this league. We talked about Osa, outstanding talent. I have no concerns about Osa other than he's going into a contract year. Ugh, we'll talk about that when we need to talk about that. But Osa's talent is ready to go, right? Chauncey Golston, he's shown flashes, mostly a special teams guy, but when he's been given the chance rotationally on defense, particularly on the back half of last season, he showed some good signs. Concern there as far as unproven, but there's a potential to do something there. So even before they make another pick or before they make a single pick, the defensive tackle position in a vacuum to me is more important than the linebacker position. But based on the pieces that are on the table, I'm more concerned about linebacker than I am defensive.
Especially like Brian said, I mean, just using the pick last year on Mazi, it's hard to imagine them picking someone at the defensive tackle a high pick or one of
it
the
is.
First
yeah, it
picks.
Is.
This draft stretch is pretty good for you on the edges, so I wasn't worried so much about grabbing an edge. I think the you're going to have to be creative to get a defensive tackle, though, especially one if you want a one technique.
Yeah.
It might be a little bit of a reach, and that's the hope that if you pick up, if you say you drop back to – You can go back. Heck, you could go back to Tampa and pick up a fourth round pick. That's helpful. That's only going a couple of spots, but you know it would really benefit you if you could grab a day three early pick, because when you pick at 87 and you don't pick again till 171, that is a long day of all of a sudden guys going off that board and you're just watching them and you have no way unless you jump back in somehow and stop the bleeding. You can't call a 20-second timeout and try and get back. You know, maybe you do, but the trading back aspect of this, if their guy's not there, I think they have to be prepared to try and go back. And heck, you could take this thing all the way back to Kansas City at 32. And pick up a three and pick up a four. Mm-hmm. And that would do you some great things.
You get a three and a four?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that could be huge.
Yeah, you trade to San Francisco. Yeah. You trade to Baltimore. Baltimore's a team I don't think will come up. Baltimore is a team that traditionally will just sit there and good players fall to them. Happens every single year I've ever been involved with a draft. So I think aggressive teams, Buffalo aggressive team. I think San Francisco is an aggressive team. I think Kansas City is a very aggressive team. Those are guys. Maybe even Arizona at 27 might be a team that you start to talk about. There's some people, we were doing the draft show, Nick Harris was talking about maybe trading this thing all the way back into the top of the second round. You know, looking at pick 34, 35 and picking up some draft capital that way. They might feel like that is a better way to operate than just going ahead and picking a player at 24.
Yeah, bottom line is the Cowboys have to go into this draft not even considering but knowing that they're going to have to get at least one trade back done. Hopefully more than one. They're going in with only seven picks, what, three in the top 100? They're going to have to get more in the top 100, preferably more in, you know, at top 150 at worst. So if you look at, and shameless plug, my annual mock, that's on DallasCowboys.com. Brian brings up an excellent point. Kansas City, I played around with maybe trading with Kansas City, going back to 32, get that third, that fourth. Mm-hmm. I ultimately ended up with two trade backs, the Lions from 24 to 29, and I got the Lions 73rd overall pick. And then when I went on the clock at 31, guess what? The 49ers wanted to call and make an offer because they're unsure about Brandon Ayuk, right, potentially. So got their third-round pick, which is 94th overall. So before I even went on the clock at 31, I had two third-round picks. Point being, the Cowboys need to both be making the calls and fielding the calls and being open to see what they can do. I do think it's possible that they trade out of the first round entirely. My only asterisk to that is this is a team that recently hasn't been successful at getting deals done on their premier talent early, which means they probably want that fifth year of control over their first round pick. So keep that in mind when you're considering how willing or unwilling the Cowboys might be able to trade out of the first round.
Yeah, I mean, to your point on your Detroit trade, that's about a 225 difference on point differential. Yeah. And that would be a massive overpay for Detroit, but how bad do they want a player? Sometimes you can get a team that really wants a player and you could get a massive overpay on that. So
right. And to qualify that, because Detroit, correct me if I'm wrong, they don't have a fourth round pick.
They don't.
So they put the fifth round pick on the table along with their first for the swap. Fifth round pick wasn't enough for
not me. Enough.
I said no, and you don't have a fourth, which would have been the sweet spot. So yeah, you got to come to the third, and they ended up taking J.C. Latham, which makes sense.
I was thinking about Detroit as a possible not trade back because I think they're going to have to give up next year's assets to do it, and I can't play with next year's assets. Mm-hmm. I have to think about. So yeah, to me, another thing you need to be concerned about is I don't think that if you look at this draft, Minnesota's picking ahead of you right now at 23. I would bet that somebody other than Minnesota is going to pick ahead of you. So there's another team that might have a need that you have. Mm-hmm. That's all of a sudden, I mean, keep an eye on New England diving out of there, you know, and listening and talking to their folks about it. They're shopping their pick. If Minnesota could package their two picks and go up and get their quarterback, like I say, there could be somebody very, very different other than Minnesota picking ahead of you. And that's something you have to worry about.
All right, we're going to take our final break. We'll come back. We're going to get some predictions from these guys on what we think will happen on tomorrow and on Friday in the first three rounds of the draft. We'll be back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Don't put off getting your oil changed, Dallas. Take 5 Oil Change, a proud partner of the Cowboys, is faster than you think. There's no appointment needed and no waiting room. Yep, you heard that correctly. Take 5 is so fast, you don't even have to get out of your car. You can take advantage of Take 5's fast, friendly, and simple service at any of their locations across the Dallas area. And remember, at Take 5, you stay in your car because they're faster than you think. Take 5, the official oil change of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit unitedagandturf.com to find a location near you.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to the break.
I'm about to give you some information you already probably have. The 2024 Dallas Cowboys Star Magazine Draft Guide. Everybody's got this thing already. If you hadn't got it by now, you're in deep doo-doo, as they would say. But anyway, get your draft guide. It has in-depth scouting reports on the top college players with more than 400 prospects. Plus, there are breakdowns of the Dallas Cowboys' need at each position. A look back at 10 years ago to the team's dramatic draft, the annual first-round mock draft, and more. Get your copy of the 2024 Draft Guide at your local pro shop or DallasCowboys.com/the star. Or star, not the star,
not
slash
the star.
Star.
Yeah. Welcome back. It is the final segment of the break.
Right now?
Yeah, you should have it.
Yeah, I know.
And I will tell you also, we have a new portal on our website where we have tons of draft information. We've got scouting reports on all the players that'll be involved in this weekend's draft. So if you want to use that as kind of an opportunity to be able to brush up a little bit before the draft begins or throughout the draft to be able to get
just
an idea on
the damn draft
players,
show for 3 days.
You can do that as you're watching and listening to the draft show. You can check out this portal as well. We got everything. everything. Whatever kind of way you want to consume it, we got it.
I'll tell you what, I was really happy. And by the way, thanks for letting us do the Draft 101 here.
Yeah, it was great.
Thanks to the Jones family as well for allowing us to use the venue. I had a guy from a fan from the Detroit Lions that was part of it. He came up to me and says, listen, I didn't want to ask a question from all these Cowboy fans, but what do you think my Lions are going to do? And he was – so it's really nice to know that the reach that we have with our draft coverage, that it does go worldwide. And
yeah,
it's not just all Dallas Cowboys fans. There's fans from all the teams, and we appreciate everybody out there that consumes us for these periods.
We do, and credit to you and the whole team out there that does the draft show. This is it's turned into something way bigger than even my guy Ed Cahill could have imagined when he first pitched the idea to me. It was and definitely more than I thought it would be at this point, but it has turned into something much bigger than just the Dallas Cowboys. So good job by you guys. We'll have a great weekend this weekend. And
hopefully the Cowboys have a good weekend.
Hopefully it's a good weekend for the Cowboys.
That's the most important thing.
All right, so let's dive in. I want to get some ideas, some predictions from you guys of what you think is going to happen. Let's start first with the first pick, and I'd like to know from you guys two things. One, who do you think they'll pick? Two, who do you want them to pick?
I personally, I'll start this off because I'm supposed to be the draft expert here. I'm a big fan of Jackson Powers Johnson, the center from Oregon. I'm starting to hear some more medical improvements. There were some things I was very concerned about. I talked to two or three different teams about – I have not talked to the Cowboys about what they think about his medical condition, but he's the best center in the draft. I've gone on record. I feel like that this team has to find a center. And if you're going to draft a need, that's go for the first one. That's center, I think, is the one position that I would look at. I'd love for them to be able to draft him. I think that when you look at Barton from Duke is another possibility there. You're going to have to walk a minefield in front of you. And everybody once again knows. I was trying to alert you about that Minnesota pick. And if it's not Minnesota, it could be somebody else. It could be somebody that's going to sell. Maybe that team's going to sell the pick. Dallas has had this happen to them a couple of different times where there's such a need. Everybody's thinking that Dallas needs a center. Dallas needs a tackle. Dallas, you know. All of a sudden, you get a team like Buffalo last year, a couple years ago maybe, traded ahead of you for a tight end. You know, we've seen teams try and trade ahead. Philadelphia did it one year for Dallas Goedert, traded ahead of you because they thought you were going to take a tight end. So if you know, Dallas is trying to keep this very quiet and very much buttoned up. But, man, if they could draft one of these centers, Powers Johnson from Oregon, Barton from Duke, I think that would go a long way to helping them fix some of the things they're dealing with that's offensive line.
AG.
Well, do not look at me for information about the draft. And do not look at me for any other
tackle,
names.
Or center, which
the,
if you had
center, to... Center. Yeah. But the main guy, and I'm trying to think if it's because I've made my own opinion about Powers Johnson or if it's because I've been kind of secretly brainwashed because I've seen his name everywhere. So maybe, you know, you start getting seeing things everywhere and just implants into your brain. But he's a guy that has attracted me a lot and that I can see him fit pretty well with the Cowboys and the O-line and be a plug-in guy immediately and hopefully not have a huge growing curve to do. But I do still think that the Cowboys will be trading back. However, there's still the possibility of getting a guy like Powers Johnson. And regardless if it's not him, my pick would be whatever pick they make first, O-line. It has to be. Yeah. And I trust it a lot in the sense that so far what the Cowboys have done over the years, they've been very successful at drafting linemen, offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. So I trust that whoever they do pick and go for would be a guy that will be efficient and good for the Cowboys, not only this year, for years to come.
That's well said.
I think they're open-minded in the aspect of, like you said, offensive linemen. Right. I think it's just down to center versus tackle, and they'll see how the board falls there. I think what'll work in their favor, if you're like Ambar, if you're like Brian, and if you've read my mock massive spoiler, my first round pick is Jackson Powers Johnson. That's who I absolutely want. But the medical situation, and I'm glad to hear that it's improving.
It is. I talked to two teams. Again, I did not talk to the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. But talked to two different teams, and there was some concerns with some various things, and they're like, no, clean. This is clean on some of these areas of the concern. So
what I'm wondering is, because of the presence, I hope they think that as well,
yeah.
because of the presence of those medical concerns, regardless of which teams are worried about them or not, you don't necessarily have those with a guy like Graham Barton, which I believe that's going to make Barton go off of the board. And if reports as early as this morning, if they hold true and teams are making a run on offensive tackles, and that's going to push the Cowboys more so to center. And I think Barton is gone before they even go on the clock at 24. I think that Powers Johnson is someone that you could trade back, right? Potentially get a fourth or a third, and still he'll be there for you later in the first round. So I would love, that's my dream scenario, is that you can go back 31, 32, whatever you need to go. It could be in the 30s, and you'll still get Jackson Powers Johnson. And I just have visions of him, you know, bookended by Zach Martin and Tyler Smith. And you talk about fixing the run game. You talk about protecting
the middle of the offensive line.
Yeah. Those are three bullies. And that's what I want to see.
And I love what you're saying. I think you're going to have to draft the center. I think if I trade back, I could take one of these tackles. And, you know, the names – but there's some names that I think that when you look at Fatanu from Washington is a possible name. I asked somebody about Latham in the league. I asked a general manager about Latham from Alabama. He says he ain't getting to you, Brian. Guyton has been a very, very popular name. The name you need to keep an eye on is Morgan from Arizona. If they trade back into this thing, keep an eye on that particular. I think they could play him at guard, or they could play him at tackle there. He's really a talented player. We talked about him a bunch on the draft show very early. And then, like, media scouts kind of fell off from him, and then he became a guy that was kind of a late one, maybe early two. So if Dallas trades back in that, because maybe the centers are wiped out. Mm-hmm. And Patrick, I'm not poo-pooing your idea about Powers Johnson in the trade back situation. But like I say, if the medical stuff is improving – if people are like, there was a legitimate scare about him and the medical conditions, and like I say, I had a general manager tell me, no, this is what the league is going to see with this guy now. So I kind of feel like those centers might be the premium. The tackle depth stretches a little bit more. So if you go back to that 31, 32, maybe even come out of the second round, I would keep an eye on Morgan from Arizona.
You know how I would love for them to come away from this draft with Barton, and it's not necessarily for what he does right now, although I think he can step in immediately and be your center and be a really good center for you. I like his flexibility, and I'm looking at 2 to 3 years down the road. Let's say Zach Barton, as we know, he's coming closer to the end of his career. If you've already got a guy that has that ability where now you can pop him out to guard if you needed to, if Zach Martin should, say, retire in the next 1 to 3 years, that feels really right to me. And that's why I like a guy like Barton who has that flexibility, because I do think right now your offensive line's in a little bit of a flux.
I kind of feel like T.J. Bass is that guy.
I think Bass is
at the right guard.
They will tell you they feel like that T.J. Bass is a better right guard than left.
Yeah.
I do think it's Bass.
So at the end of the day, I love the flexibility. That's my point.
No, you're not wrong.
I love having that flexibility. When they selected Tyler Smith, no one projected him necessarily to be your guard.
Right.
He was going to be the tackle.
Right.
But he got at guard, and he was really good at it. So I just like the flexibility. Give me a guy that can play.
There's people that feel like that. What if you drafted Barton and you turn around and drafted another center and you played Barton at guard, and then maybe they don't want to move Tyler Smith, but would you now you play Barton at guard, you play Tyler Smith at left tackle, and then now you've drafted Norzad from the Penn State center like in the fourth round. If you get a fourth round, you get one of those extra picks.
And that might be an optimal five, right?
That's what I'm saying. That they could double dip on these offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And I would, and I did in the mock. And you mentioned flexibility. So on round three, so on that 73rd overall that I was able to get from the Lions, and maybe he falls to 87, who knows? Dominic Pooney from Kansas. Absolute, he's flexible.
You got him in the right spot.
Right. You put him at guard, he can do some damage. You put him at tackle, he won awards last year for Kansas at left tackle. So that gives you also that added flexibility that you're looking for, and that's a guy strong, quick for his size, and he's a guy who can come in and be a starter immediately. And down the road, post Zach Martin, it gives you that much more firepower to say, okay, well, we know you do well at left tackle. Maybe we try you here. But to Brian's point, I do think TJ Fass is your post Zach Martin at right
guard.
Give me more.
But keep him coming.
But the flexibility to keep an eye on a guy like Dominique Pooney from Kansas.
Pooney is Delmar Glaze from Maryland's another guy. I mean, here's a guy that's played left and right tackle for Maryland and projected as a guard. So at 6'4", 315 pounds, he wins. He's got body position. He plays with leverage. He's engaged a lot. He shuffles, slide. I mean, there's a lot of things about Pooney, Delmar Glaze from Maryland. Those are two really good players.
But I love the fact that the conversation is centered around the offensive line, because I think when you've got a young team and they're in the position from, as Jerry talked about it yesterday, where they're going to have to pay the bill and all those kinds of things, the best thing you can do is solidify your lines. Solidify your lines, that's the best thing you can do for a young team, because no matter what the other pieces are that you may be able to keep or have to get rid of,
having those lines
enjoy that Byron Murphy pick.
Yeah, right. Hey, the line. We're talking about the lines. We're talking about the lines. Offense, defensive line. Give me the line. All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. Tomorrow, make sure you check out all of our coverage on the draft. The draft show will be starting up, I think, 6 o'clock tomorrow?
6 o'clock tomorrow.
And we'll run throughout the entirety of the draft, day 1, 2, and 3. Till then, for Patrick Walker, Brian Broaddus, and Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about you, Cowboys?